I have a problem with authority. Not a real big problem. It has to be real proper authority. And I guess I'm one of them Americans who think that if you have properly constituted authority, it's okay. We elect somebody, and if that somebody that we elect is the right person, then you obey them. Not blindly, and not if they're telling you to do something wrong, but you respect them. In my lifetime, I've seen a bunch of different presidents. Some of them I thought were good guys. Some of them were not. And I respected all of them as the person in the office. Most of them didn't have a whole lot of respect for as individuals. Currently, Donald Trump is in the office. He's sitting right here. Hey, Don, how you doing? It's exactly what I would say to him when I saw him standing there. Because Don is no different than Bob. Except he probably has a few more bucks in the bank than Bob does. Hey, Dick, how you doing this morning? Mr. Milhouse Nixon, sir?
Good, sir.
Same thing. Jimmy! Barry! And no, I wouldn't call him Barack. I would call him Barry. Doesn't matter who it is. I would respect any one of the presidents that I blew through their authority as long as it was proper and constituted, whatever. People who try to grab authority and do with it what they want to rather than what they should do is wrong. My entire life, I've only had one boss. I think I may have told you this before. I've got a keeper. And I used to call my manager, but my son said, no, she's your keeper. She would agree with that. But I've only had one boss my entire life. People would try to tell me that they're my boss, and nope, you might be my supervisor, but you're not my boss. What we have here with the apostles is a situation where it's a bunch of people who think that they're the apostle's boss. You can't teach what you're teaching. We prohibit it. And in essence, they went, pfft. I like that. Pfft. Does work. They were a little more respectful than that, but they said, we have to respect God's authority over man-made authority, and that's what you have here, because by time of the first century had rolled around, the way the temple was being run in Jerusalem had so degraded from what God had prescribed to Moses, it was no longer a God institution, it was a man institution. And the church hierarchy didn't like it. Apostles didn't care. And said, no, not sorry. We're going to continue to preach and teach what we know. I was once told that you no longer have a mission or a ministry here in this presbytery, because I wouldn't go along the politically correct line of what they wanted me to do. End result of that, about 15 years ago, was it? We're here. It's okay, because I wouldn't do what they were telling me to do because I was doing what God was telling me what to do. Because I don't care what people tell me what to do. If what someone human-like tells me what to do doesn't align with what God tells me to do, guess who wins? Regardless of the consequences to me, guess who wins? We don't have good guessers here. They're all mute. God wins. Like a mystery novel, you read the last page of the book, God wins. God wins all the time. Maybe not quite. Maybe God loses some battles here and there. We lose the battles here and there. But in the end, God wins, we win. And the authority thing is not an easy one to deal with. And we deal with it every day. And it might not... Get me a cup of coffee. You know, Seth, that may be almost a legitimate reason to refuse that. The real legitimate reason is, no, it ain't exact. Yeah, no, you ain't my boss. Now, if I was paying Dean to be my personal valet, huh? Yeah, valet, not valet. I ain't one of those froggy guys. If he was my valet and part of his job description was to go and fetch me a cup of coffee, then he should get up and go get me a cup of coffee. He's not my valet. He does not need to do that. So by saying no, because it's not my job, man, that's okay. Because it's not his job. If he says, no, I don't know how, but I will learn, would be the proper thing to say. If he doesn't know how, but it is his job. If he just says, no, and it is his job, I said, you're fired. Now, that last category is accepting the consequences of his actions because he just finds it demeaning to go and get me a cup of coffee. Well, if he took the job, and you know, it was part of the job description, well, that's just stupid on his part. But it was something that got dumped on him afterwards. And he thought he was going to be the royal chauffeur kind of a deal, and he'd get, run some place, steps and fetch it. No. But you see my point here about the authority? If he gives me the authority to tell him what to do, well, he has to live with that. If I try to take that authority, why would you want to? When it comes to God, we don't have to give God the authority to tell us what to do. We don't have to give Jesus the authority to tell us what to do. We don't have to give this Holy Spirit the authority to tell us what to do. You know why? All authority on heaven and earth is given unto me. God made it all from nothing. It's his. You know, we're like sharecroppers or tenant farmers or something. You know, it's just that we owe it all to God. You know, you don't actually own anything. It is rare that people are referred to as having the ownership of anything in Scripture. We're always stewards. People who look out for things, who take care of things. So authority. And Peter right here says we must obey God rather than any human authority. And then he turns, and he's just making his defense plain, which I just did as well. We have to obey God, not people. But he says, but you guys took it a step beyond not obeying God. You killed God. And that's what we're doing today. Not us, maybe, but the world. We're killing God in this country. Have you all seen the movie God's Not Dead? Yeah. There was the old joke from back in, oh, I guess it was the 60s that it first popped up, where you'd see somebody scrawl on a wall, "God is dead." Underneath it would be written Nietzsche. And you'd get crossed out, "No, I'm not God." God isn't dead. We cannot kill God, but we can separate people from God. How do we do that? How do we, good, God-loving people, how do we separate other people from God? By giving in to the world. I'm not talking about giving in to the world in order to live in the world, but going along with all their pretext, with all of their, this is how you have to live. This is what you need to do. I said this so many times, I can't keep count. So many people will leave the church on a Sunday, take off their soul and hang it up in the soul closet, and leave. And they come back next time they come in. They'll come in, take the soul out of the soul closet, put it on, sit through an hour of church, take it off, and leave it in fair keeping when they go. These are the people that you'd never know that they ever darken the doors of a church, because they look like everybody else. They act like everybody else, which does not mean that you should be, "I'm a Christian, I'm better than you are." I am, you know, I'm much better than you are. Because I'm a Christian. You? We know people like that. Don't we, Pat? Yes, we do. You don't do that, but if Bob and I spend a week out there just helping out somebody, and he's one of these Bill Gates kind of people, attitude-wise. And at the end of that week of helping somebody, they don't know the difference between the two of us. I'm not living very well, am I? Well, he's living like Bill Gates does, without the money, just the attitude. But because we've given ourselves over to the worldly authority of someone who isn't God. The Sanhedrin, who the apostles are standing in front of, who are being told to shut up, not teach about Jesus, those people have given their authority over to somebody who isn't God. It's to themselves, but it's because of another guy named Mr. Satan. And Mr. Satan led them to do really, really bad things. Like crucifying God. But on the other hand, that was a really, really good thing. Because from the crucifixion comes the resurrection, comes our redemption. Sometimes I think God's a little nuts. Because he had this plan from forever. You believe that God's a really smart guy, don't you think he could have had an easier kind of a plan than for this to happen? But just the way God worked it out, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes I hate free will. Sometimes I hate free will. Whether you're talking Luther or Jonathan Edwards, sometimes I hate free will. Two sides of the same coin, by the way, if you've never read either one of them. But gives us the ability to look at who we were going to follow. As Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We still have that choice today. Only I'm putting it a little bit differently. We get to decide whose authority we are going to follow. One of the ironic things, I believe, for the apostles, when Jesus said, you go away. And he picked up his band of merry men. As they first really getting their steam up, and they first started realizing who Jesus was, they thought all their troubles were over. When they first began realizing who this Messiah guy was, who this Jesus was. But then Judas got impatient because he wanted to see the kingdom come now, get the Romans kicked out, and Mr. Satan comes hanging, nibbling out his ears and gets into him. But the other disciples, they thought things were cooking up pretty good. But were they wrong? Because for 2,000 years, we have been bearing the persecution of authority. Then up around the time in the 4th century, when the Roman Empire was all of a sudden mandated to be Christian, the Emperor Constantine said, okay, my empire is hereby made Christian. All of the religions were going to be illegal. Don't you think it'd be a great thing? Up there, Don, here's a piece of paper. Sign this, making the United States a Christian nation for the first time in its history. The United States has never been a Christian nation, by the way. It was a nation founded on Jewish and Christian principles. It's never been a Christian nation. You got a chance to make history, Don. Sign this and make positively illegal to be anything but a Christian United States. And Don here signs it. Guess what? Boom, all of a sudden, everybody in the United States is now officially a Christian. Think that's going to work? Nope. What's going to happen is you're going to have some underground, just to pick on them, Islamic groups that go out and start killing Christians. You're going to have some really bad Christians who go out and seek out the unrepentant Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists that go out and start killing them. You're breaking the law. See, Don signed it. You got to be a Christian now. Abu Akbar. No, sorry. Doesn't work. We are under persecution today. We are under authority today. But the authority of humankind is such that we are supposed to honor it. We are supposed to obey it. Inasmuch as that it conforms with God. Which means that when the culture steps out of line, we are called to correct it. The biggest, stupid, and worst thing that Martin Luther ever did. There was a rebellion of the peasants against the Germanic aristocracy. Martin Luther sided with the aristocracy and helped slaughter thousands and thousands of peasants. And he used scripture to support it, where it's commanded that slaves obey your masters and servants obey, you know, all this kind of stuff, because they were appointed over you. He proof texts it. Same thing as people who don't want women to be in authority of power. Well, Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, women, shut up and sit down and ask your husbands at home. And neglect to mention that those women were people who were causing problems in church. It wasn't meant for all places at all times. That point where it says obey your masters, that was if they were okay. It wasn't go out and kill them, it was to run away or however you treat them. But that was the worst thing Martin Luther ever done, was turn a blind eye into authority and stick blindly to that one piece of scripture. Paul has had some grave injustices attributed to him. But we need to, in paramount, listen to God, read the word, and obey the authority of Jesus Christ in all things. Stand before the council and go, that's a direct translation from the Hebrew. Actually, it's more like, remember that and do that.